This is RSBNB Update, episode 288, recorded Thursday, December 23rd, 2010. That's a topic for another show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a show that pretty much everybody's been kind of asking for throughout this entire year.
But you're gonna stop.
When push came to shove, nobody sent me their ideas for that's a topic for another show. So I came up with my own, and these two here who were supposed to help me didn't come up with any topics. And those two are Chief Snake. Brad. Chief Snake, a.k.a. Brad.
Hi.
And King Colin.
Hi.
Yes, you guys both sound incredibly enthusiastic this fine winter evening. Well, half winter, I guess.
I don't know, I'm trying not to laugh. It's funny, because every single topic you came up with was the ones that I was thinking of, so...
Oh, that's good.
I haven't even looked at the topics, to be honest. This should be fun.
Yeah, anyways. So we're basically what's going to happen for this show is you guys are probably listening
to
this.
Boring. I don't even know what
Christmas
that one means.
Eve? What?
Never mind. Well, that'll just make it more interesting.
Okay. as I was saying, you guys are probably listening to this Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, whenever. In that case, we'll wish you Merry Christmas all later, but my hope is that you will get this show onto your iPod before you head out for your hour-long drive to your grandparents' house on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. So, anyways, we're going to discuss some RuneScape updates from this week, which there were a whole lot of RuneScape updates this week, unlike past weeks in the actual main part of the year, so... We're going to have a pretty full RuneScape session this week. Then we're going to talk about some topics of the day, or in French, please.
Sujet du jour.
There you go, that's good. And then after that, we'll do our usual end-of-show wrap-up kind of thing. No questions or tech news this week because, we just figured we'd take a break from that and do a more concise kind of show this week on a specific topic aside from the RuneScape updates. So... Christmas 2010, oh little town of Davenheim.
How cute.
Yeah,
so,
it is, you know.
How many of us did this? Show of hands.
Me.
And you.
That just shows how enthusiastic you two are about this, but in any case.
Enthusiastic about RuneScape anyway, but...
But what we're going to... there's really not that much to be enthusiastic about this week.
No, there's not.
It's a very poor update, you know. It's very poor in terms of holiday events into what could have been done and what was actually done. Because really all this update amounts to is you going to find whatever his name is, Salty Claus or something, because he's related to a Heim crab stole his hat, and he got scared in a dungeoneering dungeon, so you have to traverse this small dungeon and go get his items that he needs to deliver Christmas gifts.
Oh, so is Salty Claus supposed to be related to Shanty Claus, then?
No, in the end, it comes out that he's actually Santa.
Oh, okay.
But dressed up in Fremenic form. Because your player questions whether or not he's Santa, and yeah, he admits he is. So, but he's got the whole Fremenic beard, you know, and Fremenic hat on. So, he fits the role well. So, aside from that, basically, you just go in and retrieve the items and come out. It's kind of one-dimensional, literally, seeing as you can only go one way in the event, either towards the end or out or back. But, I mean, one-dimensional, and that's all that there is to it. So... And then basically after that, you get access to a Christmas area in which you can either make snowballs, have a snowball fight, or go ice skating. That actually is more Christmassy than the event itself.
Yeah, the best part of it.
So, yeah. It really depends on your perspective of this. Of course, any Christmas event, I base it on Christmas 2005, which I'm sure you both remember from... That's when you did the toy shop and then decorated the Varrock Christmas tree. So.
Oh, don't remind me.
Why?
The only Christmas event I didn't do.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you around when they did the Santa hat drops way back when?
Would have been, but I don't know where I was at the time of that.
Oh, that's too bad. So...
I must have taken a break at that point because I don't remember doing it. See, I joined the forums that year, but I don't think I did that. You know? That's annoying.
Yeah, you guys really are missing out. I think we have an update episode on it, so you guys should all go back and listen to it, both of you. I had quite a fun time with it. But the reward from this is a hat that is a Heim Crab. With a tiny Santa hat on top of the Heim Crab. And an emote that turns you into a seal and does a little seal clap and makes a seal noise. It's called Seal of Approval.
Yay! I like the name, to be fair.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because it's actually like a real seal sound, you know? Not a fake seal sound. For all you guys out there who say RS has MIDI music.
Well, no, they're starting to employ real voices now, so...
Yes, that's good.
I wonder how they got the seal.
Yeah, I don't know. Because there's this part of the Christmas quest thing that you have to do is you have to navigate some ice, and in order to do that, you need to use this thing you find in the bag that you found in the previous room that transforms you into a seal. So you get to be a seal during the quest. Yeah, that was the only really interesting part about it, so...
See, I remember the one of the Easter updates. I don't think it was this last year, but the year before, you turned into the bunny, down the bunny hole.
Yeah. Actually, 2 years that did that.
Two years ago, okay. Yeah.
Another thing with this one is you also, you remember how there's an emote that, or not an emote, something that turns, when you build a snowman in the snowman area, it turns into a Fremenic snowman compared to a traditional snowman, which we had last year. So pretty much that entire area that you can go after the quest through the Christmas cupboard is a repeat of last year. So really not that much interesting in terms of holiday event this year on RuneScape. I find the most interesting part of it was the fact that they used the Scape Santa music, which they failed to do for the past 2 years.
Oh yeah, I actually liked that theme.
Yeah, me too.
It's kind of holly jolly, you know.
I know Chief and I were talking last night that we both missed the flame burners on the RS login page that changed to various
symbols. Yeah. I remember those.
Remember, Chief?
Yeah, yeah.
Our little
that was iconic, and they had those for so long, didn't they? So
yeah, you know, it's too bad they're gone. So, I don't know.
But they've moved on bigger and brighter.
Which we'll talk about shortly. Okay, so that's pretty much a Christmas update. You guys should all do it, because, you know, you want to collect these items. Yeah, yawn.
Yeah, so much we just have the event.
Okay, so now it's something a little bit more interesting. That you have until January 14th to vote in. Bring back the wilderness and free trade. A vote.
Oh, the controversy.
I know. Basically, there's this news post made by Mark Gerard about this and saying they want to let the players decide if the old style wilderness and free trade comes back. So, first, let's see what you think. Chief, what do you think?
What do I think? Well, where do you begin?
And did you vote yes?
I haven't actually voted at all.
Well, there is no no vote.
Because there is no no vote, yeah. But, I really don't know what to say, because there are certain aspects that obviously I would like to be returned, but then I'm fine with RuneScape how it is at the moment, and so I kind of... be a bit worried to go back to how it was. Overall, I would say yes. It probably should come back. But, yeah.
Okay.
It's a deeper question.
Kala?
Well, it's kind of interesting because there's been a lot of people thinking, well, all the work they did with PvP, that's going to go down the drain. Well, I don't really think so. I don't think it's going to go all the way back to 2007 Wilderness and Free Trade. They say the reason of this was is that they're going to cut down on the botters and the macros and all that, right? So I guess as consumers, we kind of have to trust them that they actually can cut down on them. But they probably also have other preventions in place, you know. So I don't think we're going to go back to, you know, people trying to drop trade in the wilderness or whatever, you know.
You know, I have a few grievances with this poll, but I just made a few? Yeah, well, four. I made 4 points about this. First things first. One, this poll does not state what the threshold required to get the yes through is. Is it a 50% vote? Is it a two-thirds vote? Is it an 80% vote? Is it all the members? What is it?
Well, it does say a majority, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
I thought it did.
It says 100,000 votes certainly won't be enough, perhaps not even 1 million. It will take you and every one of your friends, ex-friends, and probably even enemies to register sufficient of votes to bring it back. So what does that mean? You, every one of your friends, ex-friends, and probably even enemies.
That means basically everyone.
So it's talking. So it's saying you as in every RuneScape player. So I don't know if they... get every single RuneScape player. It's so ambiguous, you know?
And then also there's the thing about people being able to vote multiple times, you know?
For names that aren't theirs.
Yeah, how's that controlled? Like, I'd like to know how many people put Zezima in or something like that.
Well, yeah. But, see, that to me, it indicates that they don't really... need the votes of the players. It's more of a publicity stunt.
Yes,
and that's
right.
What a few other people have said. There's a thread on it in the forum, and I think Adiv and Risei said the same thing. But that was the first impression that I got from it. It's as if you can put anyone's name in it. It's apparently they don't even track, you know, IP addresses or anything like that. So
another thing is, go ahead.
It's funny because they had that line at the bottom where it mentioned the Guinness World Records. So I think, and then they said, oh, it was just an irrelevant piece of code that we forgot to get out. I don't know about that. You know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there, but I don't think I believe half of them. But
your conspiracy
theory that
Jagex didn't want us to do the show.
I think that too. So many problems, but maybe we could talk about that at the end. But what I was saying is that I think that at one point they may have been trying to do Guinness World Records, then they figured out that it probably wouldn't work, and then they just gave up. But they left the code in, and then they left it in. So it showed up on the page, so people thought it was a publicity stunt and that it wasn't actually working, and that they were toying with everyone, and then everyone was pissed off, and, you know... That's why everyone's talking about it. It's because it's just so weird.
That is sort of like the idea. You can see why they would do it if that's the case. Because, I mean, the whole page just seems strange. The fact that they are inviting people to share this, you know, with your friends and enemies, tell everyone you can to vote for this. It's as if they... I mean, they just want it to be spread around. They want, they want to put the game back out there. And it's exactly what people have been talking about in the thread too. How it almost looks as if the getting rid of the wilderness those years ago and free trade was almost like a build up just to. Being able to bring it back.
That would be a very stupid thing to do, though.
Yeah,
well,
lost a lot of players for that.
Yeah. But now they can build up so much hype that they can just bring in hordes of players back. So, I don't know. It's Potentially.
I'm not sure, though, because you remember when they first brought out Bounty Hunter and how, well, not so great that it was.
Because I remember no actually more doing in it what at the time.
Because I came back to actually look at it, and then I just left again for another year or so. but it really wasn't that good. And then they scrapped that completely at one point, you know?
Yeah,
then they
brought Bounty in Clan Wars.
And then they brought in PvP later on and after the Clan Wars, you know, all that stuff. So it's not like they're not scrapped things before. I mean, they scrapped Mechscape entirely, so...
Wilderness Tag!
Wilderness Tag?
Yeah, from way back when, back in the early Brad days, Wilderness Tag was mentioned on a behind the scenes for some month, and then it never appeared, ever. Never another word about it.
Ah.
What was the concept of it?
I don't know, just it said something about Wilderness Tag chasing your friends around the wilderness or something, I don't know.
Huh.
But I want to speak to this about from a developer standpoint and from a company standpoint, because first things first, from a developer standpoint, you would already have to start working on something like this if you were going to bring it out in the first quarter of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
You would also have to have run the right kind of simulations on your game world about what the effect would be on the economy and how much extra items were coming into game and whether or not there would be too many of them, you know? So they would have already had to have gone through this in the planning stages of the development time, which if you calculate the man hours for that, that would be a great amount of time to lose if they didn't actually do it. So from
that's
that point
why...
of view, I think they're actually going to be doing this, but then the poll is just to hype it up.
Yeah. Mm.
But
that's exactly how I see it. And not saying before that I actually did think that this was a publicity stunt plan from several years back. It's just that sort of how it looks.
Yeah,
you might
not
be far off the mark, though. It could have been in planning ever since MMG took over, you know? I mean, you look at how many revolutionary things he's done in RuneScape, you know? Well, not revolutionary, but...
Something like that, yeah.
Well, you know, pertaining to RuneScape, I mean, compared to it beforehand, you know.
You're not saying he's like the Lenin of RuneScape?
No. Although it's for the people, I don't know.
Another thing is, you know, if what would be going through the company at this time, if the poll was indeed real and you were the CEO of the company and you decided that this was going to be a post you would stand behind and support, I know as an employee at that company, I'd be scared shitless. I'd probably quit if my CEO was turning control of the company over to a bunch of subscribers about what the future of the company was going to be.
Yeah, but that's you.
Revenues.
You're a filthy right-wing... Well, we're going to be talking about this a lot later, so I just thought I'd introduce it to start with.
Filthy raping. Oh, that's great. But Shane makes a good point, though. It makes me wonder, are they really putting it in our hands? Because the whole thing sounds to a lot of people that they were going to do it anyways.
In that respect, I don't think they are putting it in our hands at all. This must be what they've already decided as well.
In fact, it seems like a typical Jagex ploy is that
they
make it think that we're in control, but we're really not.
Yeah.
You know?
Like I said, I'd be scared shitless if I was working at the company and I found that out.
If you're working at the company, you'd probably know all this, and I doubt there are any people that are scared shitless there.
No, I mean, like, if they were actually turning control over to the people, that would be a serious concern for me.
Because
end of the day, it affects the bottom line.
If they were seriously turning control over, I think that would be a very good thing, to be honest, but they obviously wouldn't do it how they've done this.
That if this was how they were doing it, that would make me scared.
Yeah, right.
So that tells me that they're not. Because, you know, you can't really run a company like that, you know? We don't even run a fan site like that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I don't know. It should be interesting, but I can't really put my name down as a yes because I need more information as to what will be happening, into how it will be implemented, what will happen to the Grand Exchange, will it stay around fully, etc.
Haven't we just determined that it's going to be coming regardless of whether we vote or not?
I know, but I'm just saying that I couldn't put a vote on it.
Okay. I'll write your name in for you, so...
And people they're still signing up, though, voting yes, at least 5 people per second, because I'm refreshing it and just seeing how much it goes up by.
Oh, wow.
And since we started talking about it, there's been about 1,000, so, you know, there you are. Slow down from the first part there, but it's over 1.55 million, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So... But you guys do make a good point about the Guinness World Record. The JX family has grown to a well over 400, and we picked up a number of Guinness World Records along the way. Well, I mentioned the Guinness World Records, you know?
And it's actually quite funny, because the topic that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, that the end of the RuneScape trailer, it mentions that RuneScape is the most popular free MMO in the world. Sounds kind of like a Guinness World Records title, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Touting that they're the biggest, you know, free something or other, you know? And they've actually been doing that over the past few months, I've noticed. So,
Yeah, I don't know. January should be interesting.
It seems like they're going for a huge publicity boost, like, with everything they've been doing over the past
year. With everything, yeah.
I mean, with all the new games that they're going into, you know, like with the Eight Realms thing, the War of Legends, and the additions to Fun Orb and all those other things, it just seems like they're going in full publicity mode. I think this is just a part of it. So don't get your expectations up too high, because they've been let down before.
Yeah. They get let down every month when I don't see a farming update in the box.
I think that people are thinking that it's going to turn, like, really going to turn back to the 2007 Wilderness and 2007 Free Chain.
Yeah,
they're not
going to
get rid of the GE, and I don't even think they're going to get rid of PvP worlds. I think they might still keep those.
Oh, yeah, the PvP worlds are a nice thing to have.
Yeah. I think they're going to have it in some capacity, right? So it's not going to be completely turning back the clock a few years, you know? So we have to think of a mix, you know, and hope that they get the best of both.
I'd use a PvP world if it was first person and I could go with my bow and arrow up into like a tower at like Lumbridge or something and then shoot someone that's coming through the swamp, you know? That would be fun.
Like a first person version of RuneScape?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
But anyways, enough on the Wilderness, unless you guys have anything you guys want to add?
I just noticed, the way it's stated, I mean, bring back the Wilderness and free trade. Why would they write that? That's not a Jagex thing to do.
Exactly.
Because the Wilderness still exists. I mean, it's just not in the same form that it was. And they've always stood by that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just weird.
I don't know. And then there's also the people that were
clearly appealing to a specific audience. They're almost
the rioters
preying on them. For publicity.
If they're
anyway,
sure that it is April 1st.
I know.
Just
so
like
weird.
The entertainer rank and the site prefect.
Well, actually, no. It reminds me more like the theme park that they thought up of last year, remember? Remember that theme park of all the RuneScape-themed rides? I mean, this sounds exactly like it. Bring back the Wilderness and free trade. Oh, by the way, we're building a theme park, you know? It sounds like the same thing, you know? I mean, it just... But I think that is their game. It sounds so weird, so out of character. It's creating confusion, it's creating discussion, and people are posting on it on other sites, and that is what they want, publicity.
That's
all that it is.
Exactly.
They're trying to get more players, I think. But I think this is the first time, though, that Sorry. I think this is the first time, though, that they're actually tapping into a different sort of group. They're not tapping into new members here. They're tapping into the people that have left the game.
Yeah.
For other games.
But
trying to
why
bring
would
all
you
those
do
players
that,
back.
Though? If someone's not loyal enough that they're going to abandon you, what's the point in keeping them in the first place? Just like with the Dig people. What's the point of trying to keep the old Dig
people
if they left you in the first place?
Because clearly they've realized that they can do it, and they will be able to bring back a massive number of players by doing it.
You're not loyal. Mm-hmm. Off with your head.
This is, in a way, a kind of ingenious move on Jagex's part.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it turns out to be.
And also the timing. Why post it before the Christmas break?
Because people have more time in the Christmas break to play computer games, so they have to go to Christmas games. I mean, people are off work, people are off school. I mean, the timing of it was impeccable, and it seems to me that it was completely planned.
Yep.
Like, just
yeah,
for this.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, otherwise, why not have the vote in October, eh? I mean...
Yeah, that's true. You guys never said what
vote.
You voted on this.
We didn't vote.
Oh, okay.
Well, I did vote to bring it back.
Oh.
But I think that's... I only want it back if they're going to somehow combine it and make it better than both of the previous systems.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to do that. You can't just throw old content away and not integrate it somehow, you know, not major content at least. So
exactly like what they did when they threw the wilderness away, you know? They have to integrate it somehow. But I think that, like, with the economy, they can't have complete free trade. I mean, if it's for the GE to work, I don't think it's...
It needs complete free trade. If you drop the trade limits... The shortages and surpluses of items will fix themselves. That would be the best way to fix the GE, would be to drop the limits.
Mm-hmm. You'd still have merchant hands out there doing stuff.
Yeah,
I'm
still
party
I'm not entirely convinced on that.
For 2GP, and then, yeah, that would be good.
I think the Grain Exchange works actually very well at the moment. I wouldn't.
No, it doesn't. It needs the limits removed.
No.
It's like any economy. You can't have no control, like America.
But that's what we
had
before.
And you can't have complete control. You can't have
but
total control.
That's what
control.
We have now, complete control.
Yeah, it would have worked
and
before without
work.
The GE. But the fact that it's too easy to manipulate it, and it would be far too easy to manipulate it if the limits were completely removed.
Are we thinking the same thing?
Possibly.
When you
I think you're going at the same
of,
point from different areas.
When you made
That's
the price of Toad or Torstal rise that last farming skill a month.
Good times. So, I mean, anyway, we should probably be moving on from this.
Hey, this is why we aren't doing questions in tech news.
That's good. But yeah, let's move on. That was a nice session on that. So I think we beat that to death, you know. So.
I think it needed talking about, though.
Yes, it did. It needed good talking about, not people going to a world just to riot and march in a parade, you know. And yeah.
You don't like people marching in parades, do you, Shane?
No, I don't.
That's a topic for later in the show. Oh,
you're just dropping
on.
Little hints along the way, aren't you?
I guess I am.
We're here for.
Okay, Golden Joystick Awards and the Golden Hammer. You now
Boring.
Get a wieldable smithing hammer. No, you don't, because you get it from a little party cracker that they
Golden
deposited
hammer.
In your bank.
As long as I don't have to log in to do it, it's fine.
Yeah, you do have to log in to do it.
Oh, crap.
You can use it on me. Let's go on a farming run later, and then we'll do that.
No thanks.
Oh.
Okay, I'll do a farming run.
Good. And then use your cracker on me. Let me know when you're doing it. So, okay. Basically, this is a wieldable smithing hammer, and it will also do a little emote. So,
it's a smithing hammer. That's quite cool.
Yeah, wieldable, so you don't need to always have your hammer with you.
That's very cool, actually. That's an unfair advantage.
It does this little emote where it flips it up in the air, and then, yeah. I forget what the other one is, but... you only get the hammer, you don't get a random item like you used to with the other party cracker, so...
That's kind of boring, though.
Yeah, it is. So... And if you lose the hammer, you can go get a new one from Diango in Drainer Village, of course.
That's boring, too.
Alrighty, well then, moving on. Celebrate our 10th anniversary and win $10,000.
Woot.
RuneScape will be celebrating its 10th year in 2011, and we'd like to thank each of you for making RuneScape the global phenomenon it is today. In addition to the monthly prize draw detailed below, we'll be hosting a series of celebration events starting in January, yada, yada, yada. So, they'll be drawing 10 lucky winners each month throughout the year, and an entry couldn't be simpler. For each day in a given month that your account has membership credit, you'll automatically be given one entry into the prize draw. For those of you who aren't members, you can still enter for free by sending us a postcard giving you one entry into the draw. So does this mean that if you are members from January 1st to January 31st, you'll get 31 draws?
That's what it sounds like.
And $10,000?
Actually, I think that is false. They said, I was reading it, and they said, win $10,000 every month in 2010 or 2011, and they said throughout 2011 we'll be rewarding our fantastic and loyal community with a chance to win one of 10 times $1,000 prizes. So you're if you win, you only get $1,000, which is still a significant amount.
But that's still good.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, misleading though.
But it's just not $10,000. So I mean. You'd have to win every single one of the 10 prizes.
Terms and conditions will follow at a later date. That's a little bit illegal, isn't it?
I don't know. Oh, for more information, competition details. Yeah, that's weird.
I think you have to... As far as I know, to do any kind of contest where you're giving something away, in the U.S. at least, I think you need to have a... terms and conditions of and eligibility and all that kind of stuff.
But I think it might be because the contest hasn't started yet and you can't actually enter itself until January 1st, so they'll probably put it up in the next week or so.
And $1,000, why not give us £1,000? That'd be better.
And I'm assuming it's $1,000 US?
Yeah, why not $1,000?
They don't actually say. They just say $1,000. They don't really say what currency.
They probably don't need to say. It's still a lot of money to most of the kids who would play. So. Still a lot of money to us.
They should make it so that you have to be over 18 to win.
That might be in the terms and conditions, because a lot of their contests like that, they have to,
$1,000 US is equal to 1,010 Canadian dollars. $1,000 US is equal to 1,335 New Zealand dollars.
Ha.
So what could you buy for that?
Still couldn't buy any Mac products. I could probably buy a Mac Mini.
That's a topic later for the show.
Oh, it actually is.
So, another thing. Does this go along with the other wilderness publicity thing, or what?
I was just going to say that, too. Yeah, it's very interesting that these should all come so coincidentally at the same time.
It's like the...
I thought it was...
Go ahead.
I thought it was really funny with the Golden Joystick Awards. They were like the only gaming company to actually post, hey, here, look at these, vote for us, vote for us.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They were like the only UK developing company to actually do that. So, of course, they got votes stuffed, and of course, they won.
Votes stuffed?
You know? Yeah, they stuffed the ballots, so to speak. You know?
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. It's like those, it's like, I don't know, do you guys ever have those dreams where your things you want to happen actually do happen in the dream, but they don't happen in real life? That's kind of like what's happening here.
Are you what? Saying you dream about RuneScape?
No, I'm just saying, like, other things, you know?
So like you mean
the stars
RuneScape,
lining up, per se. No, in relation to RuneScape, right? But
not really. Most of my dreams go horribly wrong in some way.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Mine are just weird. They're like out of some creepy science fiction thing or something. Mine make no sense whatsoever.
Too much StarCraft.
Too much imagination.
Yeah, that's true. But that's a good thing, though.
Indeed it is.
So,
shall we go on?
Yeah, Kala, you should get some membership so you can win $1,000.
Yeah. It's a lottery.
I should give my other accounts membership just to have more chances.
There's already, you know, judging by how many votes there are on the page, I mean, 1.5 million. And how many RuneScape players there are out there and how many members there are. I'd probably have a better chance of actually winning the lottery for millions and millions of dollars than I would of winning $1,000 through RuneScape, you know?
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on now to the Players Gallery, their winter version. So, you know, I don't get why everybody always draws the eyes of these people the same, you know? It's like every teenager can only draw the one type of eye, you know? Well, some of them, you know, but...
Which type are you referring to?
I'm referring to the one with the blue hair. And then the they look like the anime
of.
Style eyes, which I find really annoying.
They don't look just that bad, me. Though.
You know, I really don't have a favorite this month. Do you guys?
Yeah, I don't know.
First one is quite good.
I like, what's it called? I like Untitled.
Which one is that? The, third one?
Yeah, the third one on the first row.
Yeah. That's good.
And they did include a full version. Like, just look at the detail on the Christmas tree, you know? That's nice. Oh, and even Bob
and
Yeth.
Oh, and it's not
are in
terrible
there.
Quality. Good on you, Jagex.
Bob and Yeth. Hey,
that's very well done.
The cat's name is in French. I mean, not French, Russian, yet. Robin, yet. Then also we got the sandwich lady, the drill sergeant, the wise old man, the lederhosen guy, the drunken dwarf, the mime. I don't know who the guy is with the white beret. I get it. These are all the random event people.
So who is the guy with the white beret?
I don't know. The beekeeper.
Yeah. Really?
I don't know. Then you can see Niles or Miles or Giles up there on the ladder.
I thought that was the, No, that's the bone guy, because he's got the hand sticking out of his back pocket.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
That's right. Oh. Huh. Yeah, I like that one. It's good.
I think it's just really funny to see Mr. Mordo.
Yeah.
It looks like he has four sets. Looks like he has two sets of eyes, the black ones and then the yellow ones.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's our choice then.
Anyway.
So.
That one's a good one.
And then another shocking thing from Jagex this week. A new RuneScape trailer, which apparently, according to mod Maddie C, is rendered with RuneTech. So, this is a trailer on YouTube, and it's a very high-detailed third-person type perspective of the game.
Their wars left the world in ruins.
Dun dun dun. It feels like it's always so dramatic.
Yeah, and the game isn't even that dramatic, is it?
Yeah.
No.
There is no magic too unholy for them to use.
Oh my god.
It's like an RPG or something like that, you know? Like an actual RPG.
Those were two arrows going into the guy.
Oh god.
I like the one at about a minute and 2 seconds. There's the mage cast a spell every skeleton.
Oh yeah, that was nice.
If only you could actually do that in RuneScape.
I thought it was really funny. People are completely saying that it's Lord of the Rings. And it totally makes sense when that huge dragon pops out, right? That's like completely
like
out of Lord of the Rings.
Here.
The first movie, you know, when the big orc comes by. I don't know. It does seem a lot like Lord of the Rings.
So, there have been 50,000 views on this video.
And is it worth that many views?
I don't know. Once
it's
again,
hard
you
to
know,
say,
maybe...
because it's good for JagX, but then it's not
how
good for JagX
they,
at the same
how
time.
How do they get so many views on this kind of thing like that?
Yeah.
Well, they do have 63,000 subscribers. So, I mean, a lot of their videos reach over 100,000, some of them up to 300,000, so it's not all that uncommon.
I
wouldn't be surprised if it's like, the last...
Huh?
Well, the last updated one that they did was the Tanoob Show one 4 weeks ago, and that's already got 170,000 views, so...
You know, this seems all just a little too funny, you know? I think something is definitely
just
afoot for 2011.
All at once.
Yeah.
We're shaking our fingers at you, JagX.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem right, you know? It seems like there's something happening that they're going to want to try and hype out again, because I don't know. As we said on our clip show, or we will say on our clip show next week, is that we felt that that Dungeoneering was kind of a flop. But
yeah.
You'll have to listen to the clip show for that.
Well, so. Maybe they can redeem this themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. It should be interesting. But, you know, we've had things like this before with grandiose claims being made and...
Every
whatnot,
single time
but...
I've been let down, except for RuneScape HD.
Yeah, that was good, and it.
So
very few
who knows?
Problems.
Maybe they could outdo themselves.
Don't a lot of companies do that though? Like make grandiose expectations, and then the hype never lives up to what actually. You know, it never lives up to the hype.
Apple did that this year, and it did live up to the hype. The iPad.
Oh, that is a topic for. A few
right
minutes
now.
From now.
Yes, since we're done RuneScape updates this week. So.
The sujet du jour.
Yes. So, initially, this was going to be go back to what we did back whenever that was, way back when, and do an uncorked type of episode. But, you know, we can only talk about the same topics once or twice, and. We decided that we're just going to go with basically whatever comes to our head for this and whatever they might be, whether it might be world or things we've always just debated kind of on the show. So this is, in effect, everything that we could try and remember topics for another day, as I would say, during the past year. But I don't know. It was hard to come up with some, so I just came up with some. Kala and Chief didn't have any either, so they were no help with that, but... Anyways.
I did have one, but you didn't think it would be good, so there we go.
Oh, what was it?
The Qatar World Cup.
Oh, right.
Well, we could talk about it.
Yeah, we could.
If
throw
we
it
time.
In at the end. Yeah. So.
If we have time.
Anyways, shall we begin?
I think we shall.
Yes. Well, let's just say before we start here, we're not out to insult anyone's personal feelings. These are feelings of our own individuals and the individuals themselves, and don't necessarily represent what the fan site named RuneScape Bits and Bytes would feel.
Just in other words, don't worry, Brad isn't on the show anymore.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my. Yeah, he was going to come on, but he's off in France visiting relatives, so. Actually, I was going to try and get him on, but then he said he was in France, so I didn't bother even asking him. So, anyways. First up, Mac versus PC, something Brad and I used to discuss at least once a month or so. I think, I'm not sure what you guys think of it, but I will be probably the one on the Mac side. You, Chief, will be somewhere in between, and Kala will be the other anti-Mac type. So,
I'm not anti-Mac, Shane.
Oh, okay, that's good then.
I just don't see any point for me myself getting a Mac, because the things I use on a Windows can't be used on a Mac.
Okay. That's a good starting point. Okay.
That is. And I'd like to start off with just by explaining to everybody why I use OS X and why I think the Apple ecosystem is superior in that. So, basically, it was roughly 2007-ish, give or take, and Windows XP was still there. Windows Vista had not shipped yet. Windows XP was starting to feel old, and this was also when macOS was still back on Tiger 10.4, and it just seemed a whole lot more appealing, and that appeal has just increased over time with the release of Leopard and Snow Leopard. Now, granted, some things on the Mac don't work as well as they should, particularly Java for RuneScape, but for what I do, that too, what I do in terms of software development, website work, that's just a whole lot easier on the Mac. Yes, you could get the same effect on Linux, but I don't want to be spending that amount of time on it. So that's the reason I use the Mac for my personal stuff. And the reason I recommend it to everybody else is if you have an Apple ecosystem at home, everything else Apple just works without any questions asked. So, for instance, streaming to the Apple TV or watching videos or even using the iPad, it's just nice and simple compared to... It's just a nice, simple workflow going from device to device. So that's why I use that.
Yeah.
So that's my opening point on that. Which one of you guys wants to state your view next first on the Mac thing?
You can go first if you want, Chief.
Oh, okay.
We're pleasantly debating.
yeah, we really are at this stage. It's going to get worse. That's what we're starting off. My view is probably a little bit diluted now because I haven't actually used Windows properly or extensively in a few months now. I've actually been more of a Mac and Ubuntu person since I have to... I use Ubuntu every day. That's my primary operating system at the moment. And I have to use OS X Tiger at work. Sucks to be me, but I'm, getting used to that. It's, kind of interesting how now that I'm actually using Linux as my primary operating system, it's amazing how much easier the iMac at work is becoming to use and how similar it feels. Well, actually, not easier, but I am recognizing more and more similarities between them, and it's almost as if they could be one and the same thing from time to time. It's just that the Mac has a nicer aesthetic.
Aqua.
Yes, that. So, my opinion at the moment is that... Oh, actually, I probably should say, when I used to use Windows, I used Windows because it could do everything that I wanted it to. And there wasn't really much need for anything more than that. I didn't feel like I don't know why I started using it, to be honest.
Whoa, we just had some major
you're breaking
connection
up. Oh, dear.
Lag there.
It's still happening.
No. Okay. In a nutshell, I am torn between all three main operating systems at the moment. Except the only reason I would use Windows at the moment is because stuff works on it. Otherwise, I'm pretty much a Linux person, and Macs are cool,
stuff
but
works.
They can't do it. Game, Photoshop, InDesign, Illustrator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's more or less everything. I mean, yeah.
Okay. I should also throw in that I have a Windows system that's used for StarCraft 2 right now and StarCraft 2 alone, and of course editing the show, but I hope to swap the show to a Mac site in January. So.
That provides a good segue into me, because that is the reason why I use Windows, and the reason why you can't fully move away from Windows, Shane, is because Macs can't really game that well. And let's face it, they can't play StarCraft, Shane.
Yes, they can.
Can they play it well?
Yes.
I mean, if they can, then why aren't you doing it now, eh?
Because I have a better gaming computer. Because a desktop graphics card is always going to beat a laptop graphics card. That's why I don't use it for StarCraft.
Mm-hmm. So,
here we have the other problem that Macs are way too expensive, and you get limited customization options.
Okay, I'll agree with the customization, but I don't think they're too expensive. I think
yes,
it's worth what you pay. I think it's
worth
what you pay.
Well, maybe, yeah. They're quality products.
The reason I say I can pay for why I have no problem for the extra Mac cost is that, first things first, you are getting the build quality of the hardware. That's number one. Number two, you're getting the operating system, which is pretty much will always
which
work
is,
on that hardware unless something self-destructs.
Pretty quality.
Number three, you get the excellent support. And number four, the extra money you pay up front is kind of worth it in the free software that you can find on the internet, because the macOS free software market is just much better than the Windows one. It's just, the Windows one is just pure crap.
That's interesting, because I think
that's my four reasons why I have no problem with it.
Yeah, the majority of programs that I've actually that you've mentioned to me have been all shareware in some form.
Yeah, that's right. Like,
what are they? Yeah, but what? Yeah, what are the free applications that you are referring to, apart from Tweety?
What's there? Well, not completely free, you know, you do have to pay a bit for that.
Yeah, there's my point. You generally have to pay something for them. That seems to be the case most of the time with Macs and Mac software and hardware and everything.
Let's see. NetNewsWire, the RSS reader. ADM, the IM client. Then there's the shareware of Audio Hijack Pro, Cornerstone, Inklet. Then, of course, for other software you get with it, iLife, of course, better than Windows Live Suite. So, basically, it comes down to software for me.
Interesting. I prefer to be slightly more self-sufficient in a way, which is easy on Linux because almost all of the programs that you will ever come across will be free.
Yeah, that's true. But I have no problem with Linux. I would like to use Linux, but I just have an investment in OS X software and hardware that I can't really break right now. And there's other OS X stuff in the house, too. Apple TV, iPad, Time Capsule, other kind of stuff that basically needs a central Mac, you know? So I'm kind of invested in it. So that's the reason why.
Do any of us have anything scathing to say about particular operating systems? Just to spark a little bit of conflict here. Yeah.
Well, Windows it's the same kind of thing with the general Microsoft things. It's always in the right direction, but it's never far enough, you know? Like with Windows 7, like, yes, you could use it for a development system. I could use it for that, but why when there's no decent development software available on Windows, you know? So that's
yeah. And I think that's a very good point, actually, is that a Mac and a PC are both good for what you want to use it for. So if you want certain things, you go for one or the other. You use software development mostly, so you go for the Mac because it's better on there. I use gaming, it's better on PC, so I go for that. It's just what you want to use it for, and it's personal preference. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Like, I'm not exactly anti-Mac. You have to remember that my first computer ever was a Mac. So I did actually use Macs for quite a while. But it's just different things. They're better, you know. Windows are better at some things, and Macs are better at some other things, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's entirely true, because I can't do what I need to do on Windows easily. Like, I've tried, and it doesn't feel normal to me to be coding on there and be interacting with the Linux server, you know? So.
Windows is very locked down, I think, after you go back to it from using Linux, and even from using a Mac, actually. Mac is,
OS
X is quite customizable.
Yeah, it is. Like, for instance, you can change the menu bar, like the texture of the menu bar up at the top if you want to. You can change the texture of the dock. Yeah. You can script it to have little floating things on your desktop, like the current time, or even pretty much anything you can do in Terminal, you can script to be showed on your desktop. So, in a way, yes, Mac is more customizable than Windows is. But I think Linux takes when it comes to customizability.
I'm not sure about that. Using a clock on your desktop and date and time. I mean, not a good argument for saying it's more customizable. Because in the bottom right hand side here, I hover over the clock and it tells me the date. Is that more customizable than Macs? Then I don't know what you're talking about when you mean customizable. Do you mean with programs? Do you mean with software? Do you mean with system? Do you mean with actual hardware? Hardware, hands down, PCs are more customizable. But with application software, more things are written for PCs, you know? But in other things, such as the system, I'd say, yeah, Macs are more customizable. But and
like
with settings and
operating
stuff
system.
Like that, yeah.
Because that's what I was saying. You could pretty much carve out whatever portion of the dock you didn't like and change it. Like, if you don't like the little glow under the icon, you can change that. Or if you don't like the background of it, you can change it. But there's no GUI to do that. You have to know what you're doing. In a way, it would be harder to probably do that on OS X than Linux. So I don't know. It just feels as though I've
That's one of the things that I think When I realize things like that, it amazes me how similar it is to something in Linux. So,
yeah, but the thing is that normal people don't need to concern themselves with that because they got user interface
and
shop.
The difference between Linux and OS X is that everything is already carved out for you.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And don't forget that OS X is based on actual BSD Unix, so underneath it's a full Unix operating system. Like if there was no, you could put the same GNOME kind of interface on OS X, theoretically, if you wanted to. And it would be pretty much a Linux machine in that way. So
that would be sick,
it's just
though.
The user interface that covers it up. That's the difference. So
you'd have to be,
I don't know,
totally on crack if you were trying to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
I don't know. I wouldn't use GNOME. Well, I guess that's the best one there is at this point.
Yeah. KDE is all right.
Too plasticky.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel as well. But it looks like they're sort of semi on the right track.
Yeah, so anyway. I don't know. This one didn't really turn into much with this, so we should just probably move on to the next one, which I think we will.
And because, this should be more interesting.
The point is, an operating system is an operating system, and if it works for you, then it works for you, and you just go with it. And like I said, I could use Linux for this, but I don't see the point in that, because I would need to buy a whole other computer to do that, because I still need my gaming computer. So
basically, to sum it up in two cliches, it is what it is. You can take it or leave it.
Yeah, that's true, but
that's pretty much correct.
But, you know, it all comes down to whether you want a simple solution that you don't have to mess around with. And that, if that's the case, you go with OS X. And
it still depends as to what your requirements are, though. That's
true. And,
in a way,
you know,
OS
X I used
is
to be
quite
a lot,
niche.
I used to be a lot like you, and I used to like tinkering with things and whatnot. I'm sure you remember, but I don't like doing that anymore for some reason. Like, I don't like setting up, like, doing the whole Linux tinkering thing. I just find that annoying. So, but in a way I still miss the days of doing that, but I just want something that works. So anyways, we will be moving on right now.
Yeah,
Kola, I think you should introduce this next topic.
Oh, why me? I have the least opinion on this one out of all of them. WikiLeaks.
Really?
Yeah, sound really.
Like you're putting a guy on the throne.
WikiLeaks. Of course, some of you, if you have not heard about the WikiLeaks scandal, this is a bunch of diplomatic messages between American diplomats in various countries of the world, if off the record somewhat to other, and some incriminating somewhat, what am I trying to say? scandalous papers and other statements that are being made that were made public by a group called WikiLeaks, who have sources which are not known for the most part, except for one U.S. soldier who's now in
he should be tried for treason and put to death.
Oh, a bold statement.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay.
Basically, that, what was his name? Brandon something, I think it was.
Bradley Manning.
Bradley Manning?
I have to.
Interesting.
Bradley Manning, yes. He was a soldier, U.S. soldier, and he took a video, I think, of
I don't know what it was,
helicopter strike. He
oh,
took a
yes,
video
that's
of a
right. That
lateral
was the first
murder
one.
Video of a helicopter airstrike in 2007, and then he just spread it around.
Okay.
So, yeah. So basically, he took video of a war decision, and then spread it around. So, which I don't really see as being any different than reporters in the field with soldiers as they're shooting at people, so I don't know.
Yeah.
When does
charge him for treason and hang him to death. How about you explain that?
Yeah.
Here, Shane?
Yeah, well, no, I'm just talking about the other one in terms of the other, like, the main diplomatic documents and stuff. Yeah, of course that's bad, but you are you have a job to do as a U.S. government employee and a soldier, that you should, when you do that, you should keep your mouth shut, really, about those kind of things. Because, you know, initially they were not supposed to come out, but they did, so.
Okay, but why do you think that something like this shouldn't be revealed?
Well, you know, I guess it's different when you talk about the collateral murder kind of thing versus the U.S. diplomat stuff. The murder stuff, somebody would have found out eventually, you know.
Would they have, though? A lot of murders go unsolved, Shane.
Well, are you trying
especially
to
with the army. Well, war crimes, you know. I don't know. It's hard to tell because a lot of the soldiers could cover up for each other, right?
I don't know. Shane, you know, yes, Brad.
Are you saying that it would be better for the soldier to not have reported this incident, rather left it to be found out just by chance?
Well, I don't know. I never thought about this when I thought I was previously only thinking about the diplomatic documents.
Okay, fair enough, because I actually never thought about this one before. I didn't realize that it had even happened. Okay, let's... diplomatic documents, then, since that is more of a pressing matter.
Because it's not so much... I agree that, yes, that kind of thing, the bad kind of... Kola, when I said he should be tried for treason and shot, I wasn't referring to the soldier guy. I was referring to the other military person who released the diplomatic documents, not the video.
Oh, they actually found out who released them?
Yeah, some Pentagon employee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was just talking about those ones. But your case, yeah, you know, something like that, if your peers are doing something bad, you should report that kind of thing. But, you know, I still question the way it was reported. You know, is that the right way of doing it? Reporting it to a website that's like the paparazzi for world affairs or whatever? I don't think so. I think he should have reported it to the government directly rather than handing it out to the WikiLeaks people, you know?
It depends on if you trust the government or not.
Right? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think you can trust the U.S. government.
Really?
I think you can trust any government that's freely elected and has the potential of being unelected in the future.
I don't know. If you look at all the war crimes that were in the Vietnam War, could you actually trust the U.S. government then as well? I mean, it's
well, that,
I guess it's
that
part
was different.
Of philosophy.
That was the fight against communism, and that was a
yeah. But now
we're
at the fight against terrorism, and now communists are replaced with terrorists. So, I mean,
but still, I think the fight
it's not even terrorists they're fighting. It's the Iraq War. They're not fighting terrorists.
Maybe he thought he was playing Call of Duty or something in his helicopter, and then because I know that that's something you do in that game, and you know. It would be pretty bad if that was the case of
that's
something
a
like
whole
that,
other
that precipitated
point.
That.
We've already talked about this on the show before, I think. About how these games are a terrible influence on us.
Anyways, let's
and
move on to the diplomatic documents part and Julian Assad.
Yes, because I actually know something about that.
Julian Assad.
So, this was the case again of the Pentagon employee releasing the documents that turned out to be compromising. So, and then, you know, yes, you get given these documents, but are you get given something? The main problem I have with this is that people are cheering WikiLeaks on and are supporting the publication of these documents. You get handed a folder of classified documents. You don't return that folder. You instead spread it around for the public to share. That's what I don't like about this thing entirely. That's my biggest issue with this.
Okay, but looking at the reason for which it is classified, what is your problem with having this kind of stuff spread? Because I know we talked about this a while ago, and because I didn't know anything about the documents, and I still don't really know what was in them. But your argument was that it was just out of immaturity, really, that you would
Like that wallet example I gave you. You find a wallet, do you return it?
Yes.
Do you find a folder or a memory card containing pictures, do you return it?
Yes. But if you find a folder or memory card, I don't know, containing pictures of, say, someone being brutally murdered, or... Yeah,
but they're classified.
Like that, then you clearly want to report that.
Classified.
If it's classified, that doesn't change anything.
They're classified, meaning that it's U.S. government eyes only, and it's not. It's lost property. You have a right to return that. I mean, not a right. What's the word I'm looking for? A duty to return that.
Obligation.
There you go.
I think going with your metaphor, though, if you find a wallet and you know whose wallet it is, and then you say, well, I'm not going to return it to the person, I'll return it to the police. What if you think the police are corrupt and are just going to spend it, you know? That's the metaphor there, is that whether you think the people you're going to tell are actually going to help you or not. And I think that might be why they've gone to WikiLeaks instead, because they say, well, we'll protect
but
your identity, and we'll make sure this stuff is known.
I think, I think along those lines, it is slightly safer. It's safer going to WikiLeaks because it goes straight to the public eye. It doesn't pass through any middlemen like the government who could, filter it down
to trust. This all comes down to trust in what I said earlier. Shouldn't you trust an elected government that has the possibility of being unelected? You know, like if there was something totally bad in here, say Hillary Clinton was caught making some kind of racist overture to China, shouldn't that come into play, you know, in terms of the party and whatnot? Like, isn't that the thing? Shouldn't there be enough trust in your government that your government is elected and they will do the right thing with the potential to be unelected? That's what I'm getting at. There should be a certain level of trust, you know? Like, you elect this government, you should support it fully, you know?
Okay, but isn't this then exposing the fact that they're not as we think they are? Isn't that isn't there a responsibility to have access to this kind of information, to know what
government doesn't need to be transparent.
What? But then we're not even seeing these people who are in power for who they really are.
As long as they make the cogs and gears of the system work, who cares?
Yeah, but the problem is that sometimes they don't make the cogs of the system work.
Yeah.
Then they get unelected next time.
That's the problem with the whole thing, Shane, is that things don't always work out the way we think about it. Think about Barack Obama and the economy. Change we can believe in. I mean...
Oh my gosh.
That is the thing, is that people do not trust governments that don't follow up on their promises, and governments generally do not follow up on their promises.
Yeah.
And then he will be unelected because of that.
And then they'll elect someone else on other promises that they won't keep. So, I mean, there is a general distrust of government everywhere in the world.
Yes, but that's the whole idea of having a democratic process.
Mm-hmm. That's why these things are exposed, though, in order to inform us.
But it's incredibly childish, you know? Like,
so you're saying we should just ignore these and look for other reasons to distrust our government?
No, don't distrust them at all. They're freely elected. Give them the benefit of the doubt.
But I thought... Oh God,
It's hard to give governments the benefit of the doubt when they screw up so many times.
I can give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, it's kind of hard because we currently have a government in Canada that you fully support, you know, but if you had a government that you didn't fully support, would you trust that same government?
Yes, because they were freely elected by a democratic process.
I don't think that would actually happen in that case.
And if there was a problem, I would trust enough members of that party to rise up and create a non-confidence vote.
Okay.
So the point is, it's just a whole childish thing, you know?
Such is politics.
Yes. This is the reason why we're on opposite sides, I think. you and us, Shane.
Why? Because I support them fully?
No, because you support them unconditionally and unwaveringly.
Yes, because they were freely elected and they deserve that.
I understand the notion of supporting government. I would trust government, but when things like this happen, you know, it wavers that trust. Would you go to your government if they think you're going, if you think that you might disappear the next day, you know?
But then
you can't say that democracy. You can't say that democracy takes that away. That fear of government. Because it doesn't. Even the most freest democratically elected governments in the world, they still lose elections, right? And that's usually because people have lost trust in the government. So for people to always have trust in the government, that means there are going to be no ruling party switches. There's going to be the same leader throughout. That sounds a dictatorship.
But the point is, if trust was lost, then there would be a changeover.
But you're saying to completely trust your government.
Yes, the one that was elected. Until something bad happens.
Like
this is what I'm trying to say, though.
It's not something bad. It was a classified document that wasn't supposed to get out. And if it's marked as classified, you'd better well treat it that way.
Yeah, but if it... Oh my god, I don't believe this.
Like I could print out each of your guys' folders I have on you, leave them on the table, and I would expect you guys to not go in them, because that's my confidential stuff.
Oh, that is not confidential, because you are not the government. Oh my god. You honestly
that's confidential
that now, any of us... That any of the people that you have folders on that you would actually, if you left them out, then no one would go and look at them.
I would expect that because that's my private property.
See, whereas me, I would expect that every single person would go and look at them.
That just happens here. I have to make sure I have nothing interesting around my room. I have to get rid of it before my friends come over because it will get ransacked in some form.
Really?
However...
I think Shane clearly stated his opinion, and I think we clearly stated our dislike of his opinion because of the logical fallacies. And
it makes perfect sense.
You say so. Okay.
It is. I'm just standing here proving this to you.
That is the wonderful thing about a democracy, is that you are able to think whatever the hell you want to.
I will be standing here proving this to you in November 2012, once Obama has lost the presidential election.
We're not saying that... Oh god, I give up.
Me too.
There's a lot more of this to come. Let's just move on.
Oh dear.
Let's do anti-establishment first, because that's on the same kind of wavelength.
Oh, we just did that.
Good. But what about your marching and parades thing you said earlier?
Well, that was talking about gay marriage and repealing.
Okay, go right ahead then. I took that as marching in a revolutionary parade, you know, on like Leningrad or something, you know?
That's why I was joking, that you didn't like people marching in parades.
See, I took it as a parade to, like, overthrow the government or something.
Our are there parades? Usually people don't parade around in one single file line where they might get shot at really easily if they're wanting to overthrow the government. There are never parades like that. There are parades after they overthrow the government.
Okay, next, please.
Oh, so what do we want to do? Anti-establishments? We already kind of did that, so...
Well, basically, with all I wanted to say there is that I wanted to say that all the anti-establishment teenagers out there need to wake up and smell the coffee. Same with all the members of the Tea Party in the U.S.
Ah, but what if you don't like coffee?
Well, whatever, you know what I
just
mean.
Just accept unconditionally to drink coffee, even though it might be bad for you?
No, accept unconditionally the authority above you, you know, whether it be a parent, a school, or a government. Just accept the authority that's bestowed upon you.
You're everyone is essentially good, though. Which, like I said before, was a philosophy argument.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, if you're under command, or if you're under someone's command, you should, or even, like, in terms of a parent or something, I think this is the whole thing. The problem with this day's youth is that they're so anti-establishment. And that's why, like, the teenager's problems of today, you know, if you just look anywhere. That's what the problem is.
Again, though, you assume that the establishment is perfect.
Well, no, you have to accept it no matter what. Even if your parents are rotten crooks.
Well, it's hard to say, because for both of us, and I assume for you as well, Kala, we've probably all had amazing parents. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, I'd say so. That's a fair assessment.
Yeah. And I imagine it would be difficult for us to entertain the notion of having parents who didn't care about us at all, for example. And so I suppose I can understand why some teenagers have the views that they do, why they are anti-establishment. In a school, for example, I more or less believe that you have to be with the establishment in order to get anything done. Otherwise, you will get
screwed. That's all I'm saying. That's all I want. That's all I want.
But okay. But from there, it doesn't necessarily mean that the school is right or the teachers are right. And it
but when you're at
is
school,
necessary
the teacher is the
from
parent.
Time to time. Okay. What I was trying to get to, I think, was when it's your parents, it's a lot more difficult to stretch that relationship. When you're at school, it's easy to keep distance between yourself and your teachers. You can just be there and ignore the side of them that you don't want to see. You can just ignore what goes on that you don't agree with most of the time. But with your parents, you'll be constantly faced with that challenge, if there is a challenge of any type.
And it's not like you can elect new parents.
Yeah, exactly. Most of the time in school, you probably would be able to somehow.
Well, it's all right. In college and university here is that you have an ombudsman. So if you do have a problem with your teacher, you take it to them. And if there is a legitimate problem, usually that teacher gets at least reprimanded or fired or, you know, something like that.
I should do that.
You should do what?
Go to whatever we have here. File a few grievances.
Oh. Shouldn't you just unquestionably follow your teacher's rules? I mean, that's what
you
can say.
I do.
Yeah, but you can't follow teacher's rules and then go file grievances on the side. That's like saying, I'm a proud American, I support the government, and then leaking documents to WikiLeaks. That's just being a complete hypocrite.
No, it's not. It's
well, in a way, I sort of agree with Shane and in that respect. You kind of
Thank you.
Have to follow your teacher's rules, but then you can go to a higher authority and say, well, this is happening and I don't agree with that. And
yeah,
that's
so
fine.
Could have been done the same thing with it. WikiLeaks.
That is different. That is taking that to the public, and the public will either condemn or agree with that.
Why can't everyone be a carbon copy of me?
Because the world would be a terrible place. But in this case, you can't go to the public. It's different. You have to go to the higher. And I mean, you can do it in any sort of way. You could, I don't know, get a lawyer or something. In this case, just an ombudsman, which is what you need.
And in that sense, I agree with you, Chief, because there is a higher authority to condemn
there,
the one.
Yeah,
that's
for this, there is there's a higher authority that will deal with it. Whereas in
real,
the other case, there isn't a higher authority.
In real life, there is no.
Yeah.
Watcher
yeah.
of
yes.
watchers. You know?
Yes.
There is no government authority that actually watches this. I mean, watchdogs.
So then by logic, we all agree with each other then. Because I agree with. Chief agrees with me, and Kala agrees with Chief, therefore Kala agrees with me.
No, that is not true at all. Chief agrees
yes,
with parts of your argument, and I agree with parts of Chief's argument. And Chief agrees with parts of mine, and both as parts of yours. But I disagree with your logic. That's what I disagree with.
My logic is perfect.
You're making me sound like a complete leftist here, but I'm really not. I'm just more left than you, which is
yeah, exactly.
Of the world. Oh, it's really annoying.
And Trekkie informs me that him and Mike are gone to StarCraft, so we're missing out right now.
Oh, that's too bad.
Anyways,
that one's done.
Anything else on anti-establishment? Yeah.
I'm satisfied with that one.
Yeah, let's move on before we get to, before I get myself kicked off the staff.
Alrighty.
I mean, there's no higher authority to appeal to.
Yeah.
Oh.
And yesterday or the day before, some other day, Obama signed into law a law that was passed by both the House and the Senate, repealing the law that was known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which did not permit the service of openly gay, lesbian, whatever, members of society in their armed forces.
Yay, I'll drink to that now. I think it's good because well, there, even if you agree with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I think there were a lot of loopholes with it. And I don't agree with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so I'm glad this was actually repealed. But there were a lot of loopholes with it. Like, if someone went... I thought the point of the show was so we could have our own say, Shane.
this is Shane's...
One of the biggest loopholes was that if someone went digging into your past and, you know, went, like for you keeping a folder on someone, but if they went digging and they actually found out you were gay or lesbian, even though you had clearly... stopped all sign of that in the army, or if you were not engaged in anything at all, you didn't let it become a problem for your job, not that it would be anyways, but not letting it known, and then someone else finding out about you somehow through someone else, you'd still be kicked out of the armed forces, and that I think is pretty bad. And I think that is the biggest problem with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and that's probably why it was repealed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gee?
This actually sort of comes under your kind of hat, the whole Don't Ask, Don't Tell thing, because it's following the establishment, really. That's what you're expected to do, and you just kind of have to go along with that. If you're gay. And in a way, I sort of agree that that's probably...
the best course of action?
Well, it's probably the easiest way for those kind of people to fit in, even though they have to be someone they're not. I mean, I can't fathom what it would be like. It's probably completely wrong. I can see that they would be mistreated and everything. That's if people knew about them, and that's why I think it would be easier. Obviously, it's not easy that they have to pretend to be someone that they're not. But yeah, from that perspective. As for the whole rule, though, I just don't agree with it. Full stop. I don't believe that it should have been there in the first place, just on principle, because it's not right. I don't really know what more to say.
I'm gonna
discrimination, basically. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
it's what everyone has been trying to get out of society since the 70s. I mean, and it's really strange that this. Well, it's a pretty, like, in sociology, so discrimination is the prejudicial treatment of an individual based solely on their membership in a certain group or category. I mean, not thinking of them as a whole or how they do their job, but it's just saying, I don't like you because of what you are, so I'm not going to look at anything else but this certain part of your life and you, who you are, you know?
Yeah.
It's not saying, okay, you do the job very well, you get a promotion. It's saying, oh, you do the job very well, oh, but you're gay, so we'll have to kick you out, you know. It doesn't make sense at all to me. That's my point. So.
Okay.
It's not a meritocracy, which should be put in place. So, there you go. Your floor, Shane.
I'm going to make this fairly boring, actually, and say that you guys are right in this policy and that it shouldn't have been in place like this, primarily because I think the fact that one person who decided that they wanted to do this job to serve a country that they, or serve a government through joining the military or whatever, a government that's freely elected and basically give themselves to this government, you know. I don't see why anybody should be refused the ability to go and do that, you know. That's probably one of the biggest forms of government support you could do. Like, one of the biggest ways you could support your government by doing that, so.
I was getting excited there. I thought we may have made a breakthrough for a second color, but it may have been for the wrong reason.
Totally.
I just think anybody should be able to serve their country no matter what. That's the main reason why I don't agree with it.
Okay.
So, but
I'll go with that.
That's good. So have we made progress?
On this particular issue, perhaps.
That's good.
It's the problem is that Chief and I know your underlying feelings about the whole topic in general, and I think that's why we're a bit suspicious.
Well, no, I just think it's a perfectly good thing that anybody should be able to do, you know. Whether or not, I don't know, I think I would have a problem bunking with someone that had admitted this, you know, and whether or not it will actually come helpful, I don't know, because as Chief said, it would be very awkward to have to do something like that, and I don't know if anybody, given the past about this entire issue, would want to, you know, so.
And I think that might be a bit of a problem, you know, because that again is a bit problematic, because if you know someone is gay, that does not mean they automatically like every single guy they come in contact with.
Yeah, that's what I keep having to tell Shane every single time he brings this up.
Yes, because just because a guy is gay does not mean he likes you. I mean,
Well, you never know.
Yeah, but that's the same with women in the military.
Yeah,
are they going to hit on you, or is just because they're women on military is every guy in the military?
Well,
they should be
professional enough not to, you know.
So they should be professionally enough not to be women.
No. I mean professional enough.
That was
to keep
a fantastic analogy.
Out of,
yeah,
professional
it was
enough
the same
to
thing.
Keep the relationship out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's the same thing with gay men, Shane. They will be professional enough to keep relationships out of it. Because
yes, but I just have to say it would be uncomfortable for me.
Okay.
Knowing, you know? So.
But I think the thing is, in this day and age, you just have to get over that. I'm just going to say
Unfortunately,
that.
Unfortunately, yes.
It does
you
not matter
in...
what you... think now, you just have to deal with the fact that there are gays in society and they deserve to have the same rights as everyone else. Whether or not it is you feel uncomfortable around them, that is our generation.
I'm not going to agree to that just yet. Not yet. Maybe next year. Maybe next year.
I'm still waiting for you to have that epiphany, Shane.
No, thank you.
Eventually. You're going to move away from Alberta at some point. You're going to get out of that conservative society.
Yeah, you know, I guess you're kind of true on that. But, you know, it'll follow you and it will always be a part of who you are, you know? Just like you will always fall back to your roots of being on the left coast and falling back to the center because there's no better choice.
Oh, that is not true whatsoever. Oh my god, you got me all wrong. You're saying that because of where I was born, I am automatically anti-establishment?
Yes.
Is that,
No.
You said that I don't think there's anyone better because I'm a centrist and there's no one that describes that better. Actually,
well, no. What I meant is that that's all you know.
No,
so
that is not all
it.
That I know. That is the thing. That is not all that I know. Gosh. Just because I'm born in a certain place does not mean that I subscribe to the society that I'm born in. And
no?
that is true for everyone.
It's just like being born into a religious household. You're more likely to be religious than not. That's the same analogy I'm using.
Well, that would kind of be based on...
Based on...
Who? That would be like saying, because your parents gave birth to you, or your mother gave birth to you, and she was religious, therefore you will be religious.
What? I don't even know where we're headed.
How are they gay and lesbian people?
I want to get back to the actual topic at hand here. So, again, another boring one, unfortunately. So, I'm sorry about that.
I don't think it was boring in the end, actually. We made a good job out of that. But let us move on. I think we're kind of done.
Yes. Yeah, we're kind of running out of time, too. I'm not sure what our time clock is at. I didn't take note of what time we started. So,
about roughly an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're about right then. We'll just do one more topic then. Do you guys want to do progress of the decade?
I think we can go through the two topics pretty fast.
Okay.
I think we can go through the Koreas and the progress and then just say what it was.
Okay, and then, then throw out the other one. Okay.
Yeah, we can just do that.
So as Cola said, the situation in the Koreas. That is the current international incident that everybody is talking about and probably will be for the foreseeable future. So, first off, what do we all think? Let's start with Chief. I don't think we started with his view first.
Okay. So, hold on. What is there to have a view on exactly? Are we talking about
just the in general the provocative actions by North Korea and the somewhat weak world response?
Okay.
So you're asking whether the world's response to the conflict is good or not? Is that what you...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's a difficult one, actually, because I don't really have any strong opinions on this. I've always felt that something sort of needed to be done against North Korea, because they are clearly in the wrong here. They can't go on just continuing doing what they're doing. It is not right. On the other hand, though, I'm sort of surprised and pleasantly surprised that the world has responded so lightly to this, because, I mean, usually they would make a massive deal out of it and go in, you know.
It's because everyone's scared of China for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really not sure what to think, because while something has to be done, it is a situation that needs to be handled very tactfully. I'm not sure. I'd be interested in hearing you guys' opinions.
Well, it's very difficult, because North Korea is not really willing to compromise.
Yeah, there's that too.
That is the hard thing about it. And
I'd also like to throw in the fact that current sanctions against them haven't deterred them.
No, because some countries have not subscribed to those sanctions, i.e. China. That is the problem with U.S. sanctions. But clearly something needs to be done, like Chief said. Clearly something needed to be done quite a while ago.
Yeah.
I'd even say that something needed to be done way back in 1953, when the whole conflict ended, but not really ended. I mean, it was an armistice, which means a halting of war. It's not a peace treaty. It's just they're stopping fighting, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So it is currently the border between North Korea and South Korea is the most heavily armed border in the world, which is quite amazing when you think about it. Because the North Korea has one of the hugest armies in the world. I think the reason why it's so one-sided here is because there is, on the one hand, you have a westernized somewhat, democracy, and the West is behind it. And on the other hand, you have a totalitarian dictatorship where the people are suffering.
Psychotic dictatorship.
Yeah, psychotic dictatorship might be a better description. Where the people are suffering under it, where huge amounts of the country's money is spent on things like the army rather than food or the economy. But on the other hand, the reason why that same country isn't totally squashed under the foot is because one of the most economically powerful, one of the most militarily powerful, and another country that has just so happens to have nuclear weapons is backing that country and not wanting any hostilities. Now, if China had said, okay, we're going to fight with North Korea if you guys attack them, that would cause the world a whole amount of problems. It would be so terrible.
And it would be a good way to clean things out.
No, it would not, because the entire world would suffer. The economy would be... The world economy would be so bad China would become so isolationist that it would be very terrible. I can't state that more.
That's the key in this whole thing. That's what people fail to realize, is that, yes, China provides for every country here. We all have something made in China right next to us. But the thing is that what people are not realizing is the fact that it would hurt China just as much if all of the countries against North Korea would stop importing from China. It would hurt them just as much as it would hurt us. So there's really nothing to be worried about. That's
an
my
eye
whole
for
thing
an eye and a tooth for a
this.
Tooth, and the whole the whole world would be blind and toothless.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Well, no, you know, I don't know. I think you can wrap up.
All right, because I don't think the issue here isn't North Korea. The issue is China's rising power. Like, let's just face it. If China was not communist, if they were a westernized democracy like Japan and South Korea, and people might actually, you know, take offense to westernized. I mean, the fact that they're allied with a lot of Western nations, such as Western Europe, Canada, United States, Australia, and New Zealand. But the fact that China is not a democracy and are such a wild card, I think that's the thing here, is that the reason why there hasn't been any hostilities is because China doesn't want hostilities, because it's bad for business. It's bad for their business.
But war is also good for business, too.
War is good for business if you are not being attacked.
Yeah.
In World War II, for instance, the economy of almost every Western European country, in the Eastern European country, was completely devastated, including Russia, including Britain. America and Canada and the rest of Britain's Commonwealth countries were not really that devastated by World War II, other than the population bulge. So it is good for business if you're not being attacked or if you're not directly fighting in it on your own land, right? And it's not directly affecting your economy, because then you can produce and then send it away and not worry about it. If your country is being bombed, it is not good for business. That is what I'm trying to say here, is that,
well, that makes
China
sense.
China does not want any hostilities, because it would be so close to China that it would inevitably start it would inevitably start a war. Like, between China and whoever else wanted to. You look at the previous Korea conflict, and China wasn't, you know, they weren't actually going to war until they got right up into the border there, and then said, "You are overstepping into our land. We are going to attack you now. This is now part of our fight," right? That's why they don't want the war, is because they have such economic ties with North Korea that they actually make money off of North Korea. That's the thing here, is that they also make money off of South Korea, Taiwan, Japan, and the States. The big players in this thing here. So they don't want a war because it'd be bad for their business, and therefore, since they are the preeminent player here, there won't be a conflict, and therefore the situation will get worse and worse and worse until we have another huge war.
And I think that's what's needed.
I don't think it's needed. I think it's just what's inevitable. I don't think war is needed. I don't think war is needed in this case. I just think the dissolution of North Korea is what's needed.
What needed to happen, in my view, was what we needed back before this first nuclear weapon of theirs was tested in, 2007, was we needed a UN-backed Iraq-style of invasion of North Korea to remove its government and prevent any kind of, future development of the nuclear weapons, and just, in effect, have the UN actually go in and turn that country back over to South Korea, you know? And, you know, people say, yes, well, we can't do that because China will get pissed off. But if China gets pissed off, you know, it'll ruin the economic ties with China, it'll hurt them just as much. So I don't see what the problem is with that. I don't see
but
why
isn't
that wasn't
that
done.
Way, way, way easier said than done. Because, I mean, you can just look at the countries that the US are already supporting, like, is it Afghanistan? Simply because that is a democracy, I think, they are supporting that corrupt government. Am I thinking of the right thing?
Yeah, that's right.
I completely have this wrong. But that, I mean, it could be similar to what happens to North Korea if they try to do that. I mean, even if they attempted to...
I don't think you're going to get Koreans blowing themselves up.
Korean people do not want to fight each other because they are all Korean.
It's just the governments. And, you know, I don't see what the issue would be with an invasion style, with an Iraq-style invasion of North Korea.
It's because things are not all hunky-dory in Iraq right now.
Yeah. That's, more or less what
I'm
saying.
You said that a UN-style invasion of Iraq. Let me just point out that the UN never sanctioned the Iraq invasion.
I meant U.S.-style. U.S.-style. Oh, that's okay. What I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So
UN actually never sanctioned the invasion of Afghanistan. That was a NATO operation.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that if you look at things and you compare the countries, I think Afghanistan is better off now. I think Iraq is better off now. And I think North Korea would be better off at the end, too.
It's hard to know until we're actually there and looking at what's actually happened, you know. It's hard for us to tell, like, in our little own worlds.
And
you
would also not have the jihadists in North Korea as well. So that would be another dynamic that would be taken away.
And you also have to consider at what cost it is going to be. I mean, weigh that up against how long we might have to wait and effort we might have to put into doing something slightly more tactful
like
in order to control the situation in North Korea. I don't know. Just
poisoning the family?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's what you wanted to do, Kali. You wanted to send a strike team in and poison them something.
Yeah, like agents and going in. I think I mentioned that as quite a few years ago, actually, is saying that if you just eliminated the government, the head governments, there might be some hope for it. But I don't know if that would work now.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know. I think something needed to be done in 2007. I think people are a little too shy now to pull the trigger. But, you know, if North Korea does anything else, I don't see how South Korea and the U.S. can remain credible in this world if they don't do anything, you know? Like, oh, we're not gonna do this because this is possible, you know? But you got to ask yourself how far you can go with that.
Okay. Well, that's the thing, Ryan. I don't think the issue is North Korea versus South Korea. It's China versus the U.S.
Yeah, it's a proxy war, just like we had many in the Cold War, you know?
Yeah.
Which really, you got to ask yourself, has the Cold War really ended or just have the power shifted, you know?
Thank God for Gorbachev. No. yeah, that's what China needs, a Gorbachev. That would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, it would. It would.
Then would it shift over to India? Oh my gosh.
it seems like the whole thing just continues. I don't think China should have had the 2008 Olympics.
Yeah, that's kind of going off in a different tangent. Maybe we should move on to the next part.
I was going to say, that's a topic for another show.
Yeah, topic for another show 2 years ago.
Progress of the decade. So, I don't know. I was thinking when I wrote this, is the first decade of the new millennium 2001 through 2010 or 2000 through 2009?
2000 through 2009, I suppose. 2009.
That's
but who cares? Let's just
zero.
Well, technically, there is no year zero, right? So it would start from
so
one.
Okay, so 2001 through 2010, then.
So
all right, let's go.
Decade.
Oh, yes. I suppose.
So 2010 is done, and we have pretty much done soon, And over the past decade, we have seen the world pretty much transform itself from a, what I think, looking back, the 90s kind of pretty much looked like the 1960s love and let's be peaceful to everyone movement with all the warm, fuzzy feelings and whatnot. And then we transition into this decade in which we have, first things first, September 2001, of course, the terrorist attacks, and then following from that, the war on terror, Afghanistan, then 2003, Iraq, and then starting up again in 2007, this whole Korea debacle, which we just went over. So, as I guess what I'm trying to say is, was this first decade of the new millennium a downer kind of decade, or was it something that we'll look back on as a good decade?
It's hard to sum it up in that, right? Because there are many good things about this decade. Many new technologies have helped people. That said, a lot of other things bad have happened in the world in the last 10 years. But yeah, so it's hard to say that, okay, the goods outweigh the bad, you know? I can't tell. I don't think it's a bad decade. I also don't think it's a good decade. I'm a centrist. Ah! I honestly don't know.
Chief?
I sort of feel the same way. Gonna be boring. I have nothing really to add to that.
Well, then let's say a bad decade was the 1930s with the start of World War II and whatnot then. And let's, what should we call a good decade? The 1990s?
I don't know. I'd say even the 1940s wasn't really that good because you had all the atrocities of World War II in the first part of the decade, and then you had economic recovery, which was very good. You know, so you have a bad part and then a good part. And then 30s was just ultra bad because of the depression. But we haven't seen that sort of depression-like thing until now. So that's another bad...
Which, in my view, we should have seen in this second half of this decade. Because,
maybe we did see it, but we just were powerless to do anything about it. We as people, because it was on government, which goes back to our first topic.
I just intended this one to be as a kind of a reflection on the past, you know, and see.
Yeah.
I don't know if whether we're living
maybe
in
a slightly lighter topic to end on.
Yeah, that's it. Are we living in a better world now than we were 10 years ago?
Well, 10 years ago, there wasn't a terrorist attack, right? So there wasn't a huge thing like that. I mean, I think when you look back on this decade from 10 years ago to now, the defining moment of the decade will still be September 11th. No matter what has gone on, I think that has been the defining image of the 2000s.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you guys agree with me on that? Because I don't think there is any other world event bigger than that has shaped the entire decade.
That's very true. I don't actually think that really impacts on like us at all over here in New Zealand. We don't really, observe that. I think it pertains to other countries a lot more. Just saying. But I can definitely say that from a world perspective, it would have been the defining moment. So, yeah,
well,
I
agree. I don't think the 9/11 attacks were a defining moment for Canada.
No, they weren't.
Right?
But I think they probably impacted on, you know, government's decisions and things like that.
Yeah, they impacted us, I think, a bit more than they impacted you, but that's because we're so close states and we're impacted by a lot of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you think would be the defining moment of the decade for New Zealand?
Oh, God. New Zealand. New Zealand is really boring over here. We haven't really had that much localized change at all. I mean, apart from only the recent things like the Pike River mine thing, which you would have heard about, and the earthquake in Christchurch, I cannot remember anything that's occurred in the last decade of significance. So, nah, I'm just going to have to say it. It's definitely the world things that affect us more than anything else. And,
okay.
Yeah, by association, America.
Of course, everybody. So, yeah, I don't know. This was just kind of a wrap-up one. I don't know. Is there anything else we can say about this or no?
The USA is full of... Actually, no.
I know where you're going with that. There are a lot. Let's just say that there are a lot of problems in the world that have existed for a very long time, but also new ones that have arisen in this decade that also need to be solved. That still needs to be solved. There are a lot of question marks that need to be answered for the next decade.
Who's going to do that?
That is what no one knows.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Well, with that note, we can wrap dun, up dun, our dun, dun, little dun. Special here. I hope we all enjoyed this kind of thing, you know, and it wasn't too bad. I don't even think I need the explicit tag for this one, so that's good.
I don't think any of us swore, did we?
I think Shane
no,
did.
No, we didn't. No, I didn't.
I don't think so. I know I didn't.
And I was trying to get Chief to swear on the clip show that we recorded yesterday.
You called Julian Assange a bad name, Shane. I can't let that one slide.
Oh, yeah, you said Julian asshat.
Yeah. I'm sure you said a couple of other things, though. Never mind.
Alrighty then. So let's just talk a bit about Skill of the Month right now, shall we?
Oh, yes, you just want to build yourself up after all of that being brought down. Fair
okay,
enough.
Okay, well, let's call it your Skill of the Month, because he's rather impartial to this whole thing.
It was a great day. It was a great first week. I'll just say that. I loved that race. That is the best race I've seen in Skill of the Month ever. That race between you, Shane, Chief, and Brian, of course. Well, now that it looks like Shane is completely going to win... with 5.9 million XP gained. I think the next biggest battle will be who takes second, because there are now currently three people within 100,000 XP of each other, and Chief, who is at 2.7 million, and just below that is Brian at almost 2.7 million, and Earth at 2.63 million. So it is going to be a great run to the end for the second.
Are you
going to
do what it takes to stay ahead?
I honestly don't know if I can be bothered. I'm not that concerned, but I have the means to. I just.
If you don't, your family name will be disgraced.
You have brought shame on the entire family for not competing in a December 2010 farming skill of the month for a game that... for a computer. Oh. That seems like a harsh punishment.
We'll see.
What else is there to say about Scottum? I don't know. It's been a pretty good month to see the races, I think. And I think farming is a pretty good skill for that because, well, eventually you run out of materials, right? But I think it does produce a lot of good races. And I think it's
yeah,
been a good
Yeah, just
path.
Like Chief and I were saying last night, what I really should have done for the skill of the month is I should have bankrupt the community before it. Like have a string of skill of the month, construction, summoning, herblore, and then farming. Make sure everyone's bankrupt.
I just like to put on record that I never actually supported this.
I'd also
only
like to
discuss.
I don't like that either. Yes, but when talking to Shane, you have to make it sound like you at least somewhat agree with him.
Oh, it's okay. a shame.
What a shame.
I know. We all like each other here.
We do.
Anyway, so that's Skill of the Month. The new one... Yeah, the new one gets chosen soon, but holiday events! It's been a while since we've had a chance to promote these, just the way the events fell and everything, so... holiday events after Christmas, of course, just so that we're not making anybody miss any Christmas festivities. First one is going to be squirk hunting in Alcarid on episode 132, and you should bring an empty inventory to that event. And that'll be on December 26th, 8 p.m. RSBNB time, Mountain Standard. You can find that on the forums, which is rsbnb.com/forums. Did anybody notice that that URL changed this week?
Not until you told me.
Gala?
No, I did not notice that, because actually when I type in forums, it still says forums.rsbnb.com, and then redirects it to rsbnb.com/forums. I never noticed that. That is rude. Wow. You just blew my mind.
That was more or less.
Anyways, the next event on the 27th at 2 p.m. RSBNB time, Mountain Standard, is Chopping Down Castle Wars, in which Schwa will attempt, with your help, to cut down the entire forest south of Castle Wars and then ignite it on fire. So, come to that event and make a public display of your affection for RSBNB and the love of woodcutting and fire making. You know, Chief, some reason I think you and I should both be there, as we both have 99 woodcutting and fire making. But quite personally, I don't know if I'm going to make it to that one. That'll probably
be
the one.
You would shame your family honor if you don't.
What? When is this one?
The 27th at 2 p.m. RSBNB time, or the 28th at 10 a.m. for you.
Oh, God, no. I'm sorry. I need to sleep.
Yeah, after dealing with the relatives, eh?
Yeah, I suppose so. And after just all of this work lately.
I know what you mean. I haven't stopped since Monday, but we'll get to that in a sec. And then the last event is the Christmas Present Dash later that day in Alcarid. So we hope to see you at some of these events, and please do come. More can be found at rsbnb.com/forums.
Won't it feel funny doing a Christmas Present Dash, whatever that is, after Christmas?
Yeah, you know, but it doesn't really matter, because I know people who do their Christmas gatherings after Christmas, so.
All right.
Anyways. Does somebody have a pick for us this week?
Oh, right. God, I was supposed to think about that, and then we were debating, and I got too much into that.
That's true. Oh.
But I did have a backup. Well, I don't know how good of a pick it is, but my pick is Gamma Ray. Not the actual Gamma Ray, but the band called Gamma Ray. They are a power metal band from northern Germany who do sing in English, and they have been around since 1990. I have also been around since 1990, but they have just...
You're only 18 then?
What?
I mean 20.
Good math. Yes,
Shane's
I'm only
stuck
20.
In the past.
Yes, I'm only
20.
Yeah,
I still
but,
think you're 12.
Yeah.
Thanks, Shane.
You probably still think so. I'm 15, so don't worry about it. Anyhow, this band has released 10 albums in those 20 years, and I've been listening to them a lot recently. I actually like some of their sounds. So if you like any type of metal, and I know there was a topic in the music forum asking about different types of metal, so if you like that sort of stuff, it's a good band. They're one of the front runners in the European metal movement, and they're also easy to listen to if you actually are not a fan of, like, they have clean They have clean vocals. They don't have, you know, the death growls or the screaming or the emo lyrics or that sort of stuff. They sing about all different sorts of things. So that's what I like about them. So, yeah, go check them out if you want to. Gamma Ray, that is my pick of the week.
Gamma Ray.
And yeah, I assume there will be a link in the notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Sure, yeah.
You tell us, Jay.
I'll just update the file.
Alrighty. So let's start with the King Kulla, and he can tell us what he's been doing this week.
What have I been doing this week? Well, this week, starting last week, I finished off exams, one on Friday night, which I actually got 87% on for my comp sci exam. That took 20 minutes for me to do. That was pretty nice.
That is.
But hey, when one of the questions on it is, what is Apple's operating system? A, Windows, B, macOS, Linux, or D, Internet Explorer, I think you know what type of exam it was. Yeah, very intro thing. But anyhow, I did my...
And you only got 87% on that?
Yeah, there were actually some tough questions.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But most of them were pretty easy. Anyhow, I also did an exam on Tuesday, which was for politics, so I got to write a nice essay about the Canadian Senate and how really useless it is. Yay.
Oh, that's good. Do you have a copy?
No, I don't actually. I could go ask for one in January, I guess, but anyhow, what else have I done this week that's actually interesting?
I find your essay on the Senate interesting.
Yeah, but you're also Canadian, and not really many of our listeners are. What else? I've been getting back into the old games. Of course, you know me, the old gamer. I was firing up the old Super Nintendo, and I was playing some Donkey Kong Country. And I know that new the Donkey Kong Country Returns is now out on the Wii. I should give that a try if I find someone who actually has a Wii.
I do.
Playing old games, playing StarCraft with you guys as well, you and Mike, and what else have I been doing? Getting ready for Christmas. I was wrapping presents today, and
to do that.
And I got a new phone today. That
so
was
do
really
I.
Nice. A new phone today.
Nice.
So for the first time since grade 9, so that would have been a long time ago. At least 6 years.
Better than me. What did you get?
Samsung Galaxy Apollo. Let it be said that Canada has the worst cell phone rates in the entire civilized world, shall I say.
I've heard, actually. Yes.
But we got to
stick. Yeah, it is rather unfortunate.
I actually only still have to pay $10 per month for my phone plan, but if you actually got a plan, you'd have to pay, like, about $50 per month if you had, like, an iPhone. Because it's a mandatory data plan, but...
Yeah, that's pretty much all you have to...
Yeah, but usually it starts around 30, 35, 40, and then it goes up from there, so... Which is pretty expensive considering compared to most other countries. But that's what I did today, and of course I'll be getting ready for Christmas tomorrow. Spending time with family. It'll be all good.
Alrighty then. Mr. Brad.
I feel bad now, because this is Christmas Eve for me, and I haven't done anything towards Christmas, and it's just about 6 p.m. I still need to write
to sleep
my Christmas
so
card.
Santa can come and leave you a surprise. But make sure you go to bed early.
Sick, Shane. Get out of my house. But yeah, I've got these Christmas cards sitting here that I haven't written in yet, and I wanted to deliver those today, so I don't know what's going to become of those. Apart from that, what else have I been up to? Nothing else since I
recording
last...
Recording with me yesterday.
I guess. Yeah, yesterday we recorded the clip show. That was fun. We both enjoyed that, didn't we, Shane?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one.
I think so too. And this one will be good too. Actually, this has turned out really well. I'm pleased with that. But no, apart from all of this stuff, I've been doing nothing. Just working. Same old, same old.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That is good. Now is the time when I get to tell you that this week I finished my last exam on Monday. And since Monday, I haven't stopped one bit. I haven't had a chance to have any self-time since then. So it's just basically been a race to try and fit the farming runs in. Baking Christmas cookies. The gifts still have to be wrapped, of course. I hate wrapping gifts, you know? I pitched the idea to the family this year that let's not wrap any gifts. Let's just buy Christmas bags and put the gifts in a bag and put tissue paper in there, you know. It's simpler that way. But no, they like the idea of opening stuff, so. So, that. And then, by the time you're hearing this, if you're hearing this, this means I have successfully edited the show on Christmas Eve and made a Christmas card and wrapped gifts and and managed to maintain my sanity. So I am really looking forward to some self time and just a little bit of quiet time, you know, because I really haven't stopped since before exams started. So I've been busy.
Yeah, that is kind of unfortunate for you that you just sort of get launched straight into Christmas after coming out of exams.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that would feel very strange.
It does, because Christmas shouldn't even be happening for me for like another week, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
According to the way
I mean, I've had a lot of time off from school in the time that you've been still wrapping it up. So.
I know, that's what I want. I want time where I can go around and play with little things, you know? And
yeah.
What day do you go back to school, Shane?
I'm done. I'm done for good.
Oh, right, that's right. Well, and stop complaining about not having time, because I have to go back. Yeah. I get to go back on the 10th, but that is a week later than normal, because we're ending a week late, so it all works out in the end.
Well, no, but I'm just complaining, because I don't get to enjoy the Christmas season.
On the one hand, you did say you didn't get any me time, and then you're saying you're trying to fit things through farming runs, which sounds a lot like me time to me.
No, it's not, because farming is not meant to be done on a schedule. Farming doesn't have a schedule. Farming is best done spontaneously.
I didn't mean no schedule. I meant that you were the one doing it, and that's you alone time doing farming. That's what I meant.
Yeah, but it's not the same. So.
Okay. That's a topic for another show.
What?
Get it?
Yes.
And that was a topic for another show. Ba-dum-bum.
I don't get it.
Yep.
Because we're doing the topics for another show.
I see what you mean.
I can see it now. Next year, you guys are going to be talking about is playing computer games leisure time considered me time? It'd be a huge debate. I can see it now. That is what our society has been reduced to. And with that, have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, that's the last thing we want to mention. Merry Christmas, everyone. And be
Merry
sure to go to bed early.
Yes, Merry Nomination.
Steel Fool's joke. I've been using that ever since.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
but I just want to also mention that if you are a PC gamer, Steam, of course, we all know and love, has a lot of holiday sales until the next week and a half or so. So if you like them, check them out every single day, because they might have games on that you like that you want to buy. And with that, I'm done. For good.
Okay. See you then. See you next week, everyone, for the clip. Goodbye.
Just enjoyed.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.